Welcome back to Lost Touch Channel. My name is Anton Vjeltsin. I'm an attorney in the Southern District of California here in San Diego. Today we're going to discuss a case that deals with three issues. Whether there was enough probable cause to issue a warrant to search the premises of this particular defendant, whether his statements that he made during the execution of the warrant are admissible against him, or if his Miranda rights were violated, and finally, whether police were allowed to remove the defendant's vehicle from his private driveway as part of the execution of that warrant. And before we go on, I want to thank you for watching me on YouTube, subscribing, hitting that bell notification button so next time I post, you're the first one to know. If you're listening to the podcast version of this recording on Spotify, please give my podcast a 5-star review rating. And finally, if you want to support this channel, consider going to loststash.com where you will find some products that I sell, including these Do Not Arrest This Person t-shirts, hats, and so on. Thanks a lot.
Quick message from Law Stash. Are you charged with a crime? Or do you want to know your rights if stopped by police? Watch California attorney Anton Vjeltsin discuss legal cases from the Supreme Court, Ninth Circuit, and California state courts on the Law Stash YouTube page. Anton has handled hundreds of federal and state criminal cases, has an in-depth knowledge of the law, and has the best mustache ever. Subscribe to the Law Stash YouTube page. That's LawStache.
Today we'll be discussing a federal case, United States versus Weedy. And first, let me give you some factual background. Officers obtained a search warrant for Mr. Weedy's apartment, his laptop, and they were specifically looking for firearms, ammunition, as well as evidence of a marijuana grow and distribution. Officers went to execute the search warrant. In the process, they saw Mr. Weedy leaving in the vehicle from the apartment. They followed him. He stopped at the gas station, at which time the officers approached. They told him that he's being briefly detained and handcuffed, and told him that his property was going to be searched and that they had a valid search warrant. Mr. Weedy, upon request, gave them the key to the apartment so they didn't have to break the door. But he asked whether it would be possible for him to follow the officers back to the apartment so he can observe the execution of the warrant. Officers placed him in the vehicle and drove him back to the apartment, at which point the officers went in, but Mr. Weedy, along with one officer, stayed behind in the front yard of the apartments. They were standing together while the execution of the warrant was happening inside. At some point, the officers found firearms, ammunition, as well as evidence of a marijuana grow, as well as a firearm safe. One officer walked out of the apartment, and without giving Mr. Weedy his Miranda warnings, he asked Mr. Weedy whether he had combination to the firearm safe. Now, Mr. Weedy refused to give him that information. At that point, with the information of finding the drugs, marijuana, as well as firearms inside the apartment, the officer placed Mr. Weedy under arrest. Then he provided the Miranda warnings and asked Mr. Weedy some more questions about the apartment. Namely, who else lived there? And again, about the combination to the safe, so they didn't have to force break it or get a locksmith. Again, Mr. Weedy provided some information, but not all. And later this becomes an issue whether those statements are admissible against him. Now, during the execution of the warrant, the officers also noticed that Mr. Weedy's van was parked on private driveway right next to the apartment. They used a trained canine unit. They walked the dog around the vehicle, but the dog didn't alert. Nevertheless, the officers impounded the vehicle and took it to the law enforcement impound lot. At that point, they once again used another canine around the vehicle, and this time the dog alerted. With that information in hand, with that alert, officers went to the court and obtained a second search warrant for the vehicle. Inside, they found more ammunition and evidence of marijuana distribution. Now, Mr. Weedy argues that the statements that he provided to the officers before Miranda and after should be suppressed, as well as the information from the vehicle, namely the evidence found inside the vehicle, should also be suppressed. Because the vehicle should have never been taken away from him, he says this was an illegal seizure because the officers did not have a warrant to take the vehicle from the apartments to the impound lot. And of course, he argues in the very beginning about the validity of the warrant itself, the original one. So let's first talk about that. Let's talk about the validity of the search warrant. Here's what the court says. The court finds that the affidavit in support of the search warrant sufficiently established probable cause to justify issuance of the warrant. First, the court finds that the information provided by the informants was not stale. Although the informants had not been in the defendant's apartment for at least a few weeks, they provided information of a marijuana grow operation, which is not a fly-by-night affair. Moreover, both informants provided information indicating that the defendant was stockpiling weapons to prepare for the end of the world, which suggests that the possession of firearms was not fleeting. Thus, the evidence provided by the informants, which was admittedly at least a few weeks old, was not stale for the purposes of probable cause. The court also noted that one of the law enforcement agents corroborated the information from the informants when he drove by the apartment earlier and saw three of the windows completely covered up. And because of that, plus the information I provided to you from the court earlier, the lower court said that the motion to suppress evidence found inside the apartment is denied and can in fact be used against Mr. Weedy. Now let's move on to the question of statements. And first, let's focus on the statements that he made prior to receiving Miranda warnings. Remember, Mr. Weedy was standing in the front yard of the apartments, handcuffed and detained. We know that Miranda warnings only apply during custodial interrogation. You need to have both of those things happen in order for Miranda to apply. In terms of interrogation means that the officers are eliciting incriminating statements. And here, nobody argues that the questioning about the combo to the firearm safe would be incriminating to Mr. Weedy. Mr. Weedy was a felon, and if we found firearms inside a firearm safe, that would incriminate Mr. Weedy. So there's no question that this is interrogation. The court and the parties argue about custody. When we're talking about custody, we're asking a question whether a reasonable person would be free to leave and terminate the encounter with law enforcement. Being in handcuffs doesn't necessarily mean that you are in custody, because you might ask the officers, can I go? And the officer can think about it, figure out that there's not enough probable cause to detain you, and let you go. Of course, we know that in practice, that might not necessarily what happens, but in law, we say that people sometimes ask the officers if they're free to leave. But of course, any detention can grow into what we call a de facto arrest. And then you are really in custody. There is no precise formula for determining when an individual is subject to a de facto arrest. Rather, the court must consider the totality of circumstances. Relevant circumstances include, among other inquiries, whether the suspect was questioned in familiar or at least neutral surroundings, the number of law enforcement officers present at the scene, the degree of physical restraint placed on the suspect, and the duration and character of the interrogation. The court looked at a number of factors. Here, Mr. Weedy was handcuffed during the interrogation. He was already transported from the gas station back to his apartment in the back of the police cruiser, and he was continuously observed by one law enforcement agent in the front yard of his apartment during the interrogation and during the execution of the warrant. And for that reason, the court says that Mr. Weedy was in fact in custody during the interrogation. And remember, custody plus interrogation means Miranda warnings. Because Mr. Weedy did not receive those warnings, all the statements made prior to Miranda warnings should have been suppressed. And that's what the court does. But what about statements made after the Miranda warnings? Well, here's what the court says. There's no question about the fact that he's now arrested. He's been told by the agents that he's arrested. And of course, he's being interrogated. There's questions about who lives in the apartment, the combination to the firearm safe, as well as the overall questioning about the whole marijuana distribution and the grow. Here's what the court says. Sometimes the officers use different techniques. The court says there's nothing coercive in the questioning here. The setting of the questioning is also not overly coercive. He's still in the front yard of his apartments. Although he's handcuffed, there's really no coercion happening here. And what about the technique of questioning first, Miranda later? I have a video on this channel that I posted about the Supreme Court case Bobby versus Dixon. It is a 2011 case that deals exactly with this technique. I will link that video above and I encourage you to watch it. But here's essentially what the law enforcement does. They question an individual without giving him a Miranda warning about the whole crime. Once he confesses, the officers then give the suspect the Miranda warnings. And then they essentially ask the defendant to repeat the information. Most people in that situation feel as though, what's the point? I already told you everything. I might as well say it again. And so later, the law enforcement and the prosecutor only use the statements after Miranda because they know everything before then would be suppressed. But then the Miranda was given, so all the statements after would be used against the defendant. But the courts repeatedly said that that is an ineffective use of Miranda warnings. Even though the person agrees to answer statements, they only do that because there's this confusion of questioning first, Miranda later. Here the court says that does not apply because the questioning in the beginning prior to the Miranda was focused only on the combination to the firearm safe. The only reasoning for that questioning was to get the combination so the officers didn't need to break the safe. While the questioning later, after the Miranda warnings, focused on the overall scheme as well as who lived in the apartment, the combination, and everything. Because the questioning is different prior to Miranda and afterwards, the statements made after Miranda warnings are in fact admissible against the defendant, Mr. Weedy. Finally, let's talk about the evidence seized from Mr. Weedy's van. Remember, he had a van parked in a private driveway right next to the apartments when the officers decided to impound that vehicle and later search it. The Supreme Court has held that moving somebody's property from one location to another constitutes an infringement on that person's possessory interest, and thus it is a seizure under the Fourth Amendment. We also know that nothing in the original warrant allowed the officers to seize the van. That search warrant was only for the apartment as well as the electronics inside. So how is it that the government argues that this search and seizure was permitted? They rely on what's called the automobile exception. I have previously discussed a number of exceptions to searching vehicles without a warrant, and I will link the relevant video here above. It was a 5-part series that dealt with all the searches of vehicles without a warrant. But today, we're going to focus only on the automobile exception that the government says applies here. Remember, officers can search automobiles if they have probable cause to believe that the vehicle contains contraband or some evidence of the crime. But here, there is nothing apparent from the vehicle that it is used in criminal activity. There's also no evidence that at the time the van was seized, the officers had any information connecting the van to the defendant's drug activities or possession of firearms. That drugs and firearms were found inside the defendant's apartment does not mean, ipso facto, that the officers had probable cause to believe that the related evidence would be found in the van. Moreover, a drug detection dog at the scene did not positively alert to the van. Absent some information linking the van to the crimes for which the defendant was arrested, the court cannot find that there was probable cause to seize the van. Ultimately, the case comes down to the general rule that searches and seizures conducted without a warrant are per se unreasonable, unless there is an exception to the rule. And here, because there's no exceptions, the automobile exception didn't apply, the seizure was in violation of the Fourth Amendment. And even though the officers later obtained a warrant to search inside the vehicle, all the evidence found inside will be suppressed as fruits of the poisonous tree, because the initial seizure is in violation of the Fourth Amendment, everything that follows will be suppressed. I hope you enjoyed this video. I hope you understand a little bit more about searches and seizures and the Fourth Amendment. And if you enjoyed this video, please give it a thumbs up and subscribe to my channel. Also, hit that bell notification button so next time I post, you'll be first to know. And if you're listening to the podcast version of this recording on Audible or Spotify, please give my podcast a 5-star review rating. And finally, if you want to support my channel, consider going to lostash.com/merch and looking at some of the products, including this Do Not Arrest This Person t-shirt, hats, and some other things. Thanks for watching.